only ever had two responses from telling a woman I'm bi. Mm. One is, oh my God, that's so forward thinking. You're such a modern person. Well done. And then the other one is, oh my God, that's hot. I want a threesome. Oh. That's all I've had.
Oh yeah.
Do you like it?
Have fun, stay safe, and always get consent.
Two Night Stand, baby.
Hello and welcome back to Two Night Stand.
Hello.
My name's Bella.
My name's Jake.
And today we have...
Oh, you want me to introduce myself?
Yeah.
You're not doing it for me. I'm Ethan Bradbury, but you might know me as Mr. Britain X, for those watching.
Yeah, have anybody seen any spicy content out there? He's the man with the shorts with the UK flag on them.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that bulge. So last week we spoke to Harley and spoke about her relationships in the lesbian community.
Yep.
So we thought we'd move on to the B in LGBT. Ethan is a bisexual man. And we wanted to talk about the experience of you being a bisexual man and how it's affected you in your home life, in the industry you work in. Obviously, Ethan works in the same industry as me. I do OnlyFans, he does OnlyFans. And yeah, we just wanted to have a chat about it.
Nice.
Yeah. What you been up to at the moment?
Me in general. Non-stop work. I had a bit of a break over winter. Just took a bit of time for myself, some family stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then just been diving back into it. As you know, it's pretty non-stop. The adult community, adult filming community, shall I say.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, definitely. I think, to be honest, it's very hard to find people to work with in the adult industry. And I was recommended to speak to Ethan a very long time ago. And we only just met in Mexico,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah, true.
Which was really fun. So yeah, if there
a
is anybody...
very heavy couple of days.
Yeah. Ethan and his partner can literally drink for the whole of England and Wales.
Yeah, I mean, I don't drink often, but when I do, it's copious amounts.
A lot of Sambuca.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, actually, that was a complete lie. Tequila.
Oh, yeah, we drank so much tequila.
We were drinking tequila.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It makes you feel unwell.
As long as it's got alcohol in it, I'm fine.
Yeah. And lots of rounds of the finger game.
The finger
game? Oh, yeah, with a finger on the table. And
oh, that yeah. The one, yeah.
It's a lot more innocent than it sounds.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, it wasn't the bisexual finger game. No. Could have been. But, you know.
Cool. So I wanted to kind of just chat about you starting out as a bisexual. Like, how did you come out? What was the kind of situation with yourself?
My coming out is like really bizarre compared to a lot of people, because I technically came out twice. Mm. So as a teenager, you kind of have this whole what am I, who am I identity crisis when you're kind of figuring out your own sexuality, whether you be gay or bi. Like straight people, sometimes they go, am I, can I? No, easy answer. But when you're a bisexual male, I think bisexuality, there's a scale, 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 straight, 10 gay.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I don't think anyone is ever a 1 or a 10. But you're just on this scale somewhere. And you could say, right, 9 is you're pretty much gay.
Yeah.
But then that goes the whole like curious, heteroflexible, which is where it's like, right, I'll play with the same gender, but I'm not emotionally there. And then it kind of, it just builds and builds and builds and starts goes more towards the same gender. Well, I've always classed myself as more into the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you kind of question yourself even more because you do it. And like literally when I experimented, I felt sick to my stomach. And I've spoke to a lot of bisexual men and they feel the same. It's like, when I did it, I was the exact same. I would literally be like, oh, it was disgusting. Why'd I do it? But then a week later, you're like, hey, do you want to meet up? You know?
Do you feel like it was more of like an outside, like social thing that people had put onto you? Like it was like a social stigma that made you feel like, oh, I should find this disgusting?
Or... yeah, exactly. But as well with, I'm more into women and I was not emotionally interested in men at all. But I was like, the sexual curiosity was there.
Yeah.
I kept wanting to go back. So after a fair bit of time, like 2 years, maybe a year and a half, of doing that, I was like, yeah, I'm bi. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I full admit it now. I've gone back and sucked a few penises.
Yeah.
You know? And then, so I kind of was like, right. And I came out to my family and they were like, yeah, sound. That's great. And then after that, I never had an opposite. No, I never had a same sex partner as in relationship.
Yeah.
But for me, that was normal because I was only sexually into the same sex.
Yeah.
But emotionally and sexually, it was the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So that was when I was, 16?
Yeah.
Coming out to the family and a few people.
Yeah.
Or I even got into quite a few serious relationships, and every relationship with a girl, I always told them I was bi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, cool. You know, always dead sound. Because I was always monogamous. Just because you're bisexual does not mean I want to be open and fuck other people.
Yeah, because that's always a massive thing.
Massive stigma.
Bisexuals, and we spoke about this last week on the lesbian episode, especially my experience as a bisexual woman. People even want to leave you because they think that you're gonna leave them for the opposite gender. It's like it's more competition, but realistically, if you're a monogamous person in general, you're never gonna just automatically up and leave just because you can.
Exactly.
Like, and it's not like you find everybody attractive. Like, I think that's what a big misconception about bisexuality is that they think, oh, everyone's attractive. Like, they can literally leave you for anyone.
It's the greedy label.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and a lot of bisexuals use that as a joke on themselves, going, oh, I'm just greedy.
Yeah.
So you're only doing that because it's kind of been programmed into your head, that joke.
Exactly.
But, you know.
It is a difficult thing, especially, I think it's more difficult for men to come out as bisexual. I think with women, I personally have had the experience of like, oh, no, you're not. You just want to like experiment a bit. But I, when it comes to guys, I think from my understanding, it's like it's opposite where they're like, well, you're definitely gay.
Yeah.
You can't be bisexual. Whereas with women, when they come out as bisexual, it's like, well, you're definitely straight. But
well, people can understand with women the whole heteroflexible thing of bi. They can say bi, but you know, they go, okay, yeah, so they're into men, but they'll have a bit of fun with women. If a guy does it, it's like, nah, you're gay, dude. You're like, you never want vagina again because you suck penis. You sucked a penis once, you are gay. You know, there's nothing wrong with being gay. But the fact that a lot of guys I know are bisexual who aren't out as bi.
Mm.
There's a lot of guys in the adult industry who are full on like, yeah, no, I'm bi. I like to have sex with dudes, but I will not do bi porn because I don't want the stigma. I get messages all the time from guys in porn who will not do the bi content. They don't want the stigma.
You were saying this because a lot of the male content creators, they go faceless.
Right? Yeah.
And that's what you were struggling with, was actually finding someone who would actually come out on camera and be.
Yeah. They won't show their face. Like, oh, I'll do bi content with you, but I just don't want to show my face. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to work with you.
Mm.
Well, is it because they're known as straight or?
Yeah, pretty much. They just don't want it out there that they're bi. And it's like, well, why? And it's like, because I'm more into women. I'm like, so am I.
Yeah.
And people accept that of me. But I think it's because I'm kind of leading the way in the male sex worker industry of you can be bi and be more into women. Like my partner now is my only same-sex partner I've ever had. I'm actually in a same-sex relationship.
Yeah.
And people are like, yeah, but I still see that you're quite straight. Because when they meet us both, they're like, we'd think you're mates.
Yeah, we like even when we were in Mexico, Ethan's boyfriend is so lovely and he's so funny, but they do look like just a couple of straight guys who are best mates.
Like, we had a holiday, our first couple's holiday together, and we were drinking for hours with this like group of six. And this woman was like, I'm just going to ask, like, why are you here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean, why are you here? Like, you know, it's a couple's resort, you know, and I was like, oh, you don't. You haven't clocked. She's like, what? We're a couple. She fell off a chair.
Yeah.
Her husband was like, oh my God, but he kind of accepted it a bit quick, but she just couldn't. She couldn't fathom it. And,
I just don't get it. Why are you not flicking your wrists?
Yeah, just walking around like holding hands. Because that's the thing as well.
Wasn't there that Glasgow lady as well who was a lot more, even more interested once she found out you guys were bi?
Oh, it's quite a lot of women.
Really?
Once they clock on that you're bi, because so many women, they love the idea of a bi threesome as well.
Mm.
And as I was saying, to a lot of people, a lot of guys are scared of the stigma.
Mm.
They think, what will women think? Women won't want to come anywhere near me. And I say, I've only ever had two responses from telling a woman I'm bi.
Mm.
One is, oh my God, that's so forward thinking. You're such a modern person. Well done. And then the other one is, oh my God, that's hot. I want a threesome.
Oh.
That's all I've had. I've never had you disgusting, like, homo or and that's rank, or you got to pick one or the other. Women completely understand bisexuality.
Yeah.
Men, on the other hand, for the most part, accept bisexuality.
Mm. Yeah.
Or some of them don't, because they just go, oh, so you're gay then?
Yeah.
Like, no, you need a little bit of education.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with being gay, but I like to be given a label of what I actually am. A lot of people go, I don't believe in labels for this reason. But I do think labels are needed.
And have you found that there's a stigma that comes from the gay communities? Because when we were speaking to Harley, she was saying about the whole gold star thing. You can either be a gold star lesbian or not. So is there like that stigma from, like, you know, the gay community? Like, oh, you know.
Not all of the gay community.
Yeah.
So I've been part of a gay rugby team, you know, and most of the guys.
The whole rugby team was gay?
No, it's like actually, they had some straight guys actually on the gay rugby team.
Like,
it's an LGBTQ.
I thought everyone that played rugby was gay.
Just in general. So it was a normal team, they're just all gay.
No, yeah, it's, it was a normal rugby team. It was actually the England rugby team.
Was it?
Yeah.
But the LGBTQ rugby team, and there's actually straight people playing there who are allies of, like, homosexuals and gay and all the
allies.
Yeah. Yeah. But a lot of the guys in there, super sound with the bi thing, they have the banter, you know, all of the guys actually.
Yeah.
But so it shows, like, gay people are fully accepting the bisexuality. But online, oh my God. So, and in person, the stigma from the straight community, the negative is naivety.
Mm.
It's, they don't understand, they're not educated. But when it's from the gay community, when it's negative, which is a small part of it, it's full on hate.
Mm.
It's nasty. It's like they see that you've been with a woman or into women or post a picture with a woman.
Mm.
It is, they just go for you. They want to get all your accounts deleted. It's nasty messages, like, you're disgusting. You know, it's...
What?
And
but then again, I, like, this is completely off topic, but doing what we do, well, it's not completely off, but the only comparison that I can make to that is when I make interracial content, which is not... I don't think you're allowed to call it interracial content anymore, but obviously when you work with different ethnicities, and sometimes when people find out that I've worked with someone who's a different colour skin to me, they do exactly the same thing and they go mental.
Yeah.
And it's obviously just down to either racism or homophobia, but it sounds like reverse homophobia.
But as well, you'd think with, the reverse homophobia, this group of people, these homosexual men, because I've never had it from women, because the women tend to be actually quite understanding of bisexual men.
Mm-hmm.
When it's homosexual men who have this small population of them, not all, because most are absolutely fine, you'd think they'd be accepting because they've had to go through it. Acceptance and coming out and all of that.
Yeah.
So it's like, why do you hate on something where you've kind of had to go through something similar?
Yeah.
But I had the exact same experience as a bisexual woman. I think, again, most people just accepted it or was like, that's hot, or like, you know, just that's annoying when that happens. But the majority of lesbians didn't like it. I think it was more the fact that they'd be okay with it in a friendship level.
Yeah.
But if you ever decided to go one step further and be and want to be in a relationship with a full lesbian woman, they would be like, I don't want that. Like, that's, you know, that's not what I want to be romantically involved in, because there's a chance that you could leave me for a guy, or you might not be serious, or it's just a phase. And it's like, but you've done exactly the same thing as me. Like, I've come out, I've said that this is what I want, so why can you not be accepting of that same fact? Which is strange that obviously the two different communities of, like, lesbian and gay, like the two complete polar opposites of each other, still kind of both react the same way to bisexual people. Because I've seen so much against bisexual people in general, just because, you know, a lot of people say it's not like a real label.
Exactly. You know? But now, like, what I quite like about bisexuality is it's the top of an umbrella of loads of sexualities as well.
Yeah.
So I think it is becoming a bit more accepted. Definitely. But I think if I just turned around and went, I'm pan, I would get accepted more than if I said I was bi.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever felt that.
Yeah, because obviously when you're pan, so pansexuality, when you're into, you can be with anyone. Like, it doesn't matter whether they are a man, a woman, trans.
Yep.
Intersex, anything like that, like, you will just be with anyone.
Like, the pan motto is hearts, not parts.
Mm.
Right.
I mean, that's a fucking lovely motto.
I like that. It's cute.
No.
You know, and to be fair, it's crossed my mind going, am I pan? But I've not had the opportunity to explore that. But that's just an umbrella of bisexuality.
Does that then string near to, and forgive me if I'm wrong, like asexual in a way, because you're not going for looks, you're going for what's...
No, asexuality is when you don't want to have sex.
Yeah, okay, you're just you. Not. It's just like, yeah, I just like to sit home and masturbate. See you later.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know?
I'm just going to sit on my own.
So pansexual runs, is it you're not running off like physical attraction, it's more emotional attraction.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
But saying that, it can be...
there's also demisexual as well, which is kind of an umbrella of bisexuality, but it's that you fall in love with the personality first. You have to have an emotional connection before you can have sex with them.
Yeah,
sexuality is such a spectrum, but I think under bisexuality it has so much more of an umbrella than a lot of than just being purely gay or purely lesbian or
I went off on a massive tangent. I still didn't tell you about how I came out fully. I just remembered. But did you want to go back to that?
Yeah, go for it.
So as I was saying about this whole spectrum and prejudge, prejudice, stigma, all that. Because I was always heteroflexible, my partners, so the ones I came out to, one of them, like when I was like, do you know what, fuck this, I'm just going to, because I kept it quite quiet, the bisexuality, because I was like, that's just fun. I can do that on my own. It doesn't need to put it in people's faces because I date women. And it wasn't I was in the closet cause people knew, but I'm not going to bring them around to show me friends. I'm just offering them for a bit of fun on a certain night, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when it came to someone's being really homophobic in my work, and it wasn't about bisexuality, it was just homophobic in general, I was like, I'm going to say something I said to my fiance at the time. And she was like, no, don't come out. I was like, why? And she was like, you're straight. And I was like, well, I'm not, I'm bi, you know this. She's like, yeah, but you're with me, we're going to get married, you're straight as far as I'm aware. I was like, that's really not...
Did that cause...
That caused rifts.
Yeah.
Caused rifts. Because she was always accepting, but that kind of was like... But it was a slow start to her resenting the bisexuality, which could be the trust factor of it.
Right, yeah.
A monogamous relationship. But it kind of came down to, so I was then with her for quite a long time. So I wasn't even outward speaking. My people were homophobic around me. And it was driving me nuts. But then I was single again. Started obviously getting back into the bisexual world of being heteroflexible. I ended up kind of hooking up with my now partner, and it became a regular thing, but became like best friends, and we were going out drinking all the time, hanging out. And then I just kind of realized out of the blue that shit, because he got stupidly drunk somewhere, and I realized, and I couldn't help him, and I realized I actually worried and cared. And that's where I realized I went emotionally, so I went from heteroflexible to now I'm like bang on number 5 in that 1 to 10 scale. And then my sister on Boxing Day, she was like, you missed a single, what are you doing? So always, she was like that. She's like winding me up. She's like, you and all these women. And I was like, no. I'm like, I'm actually seeing someone. So I was starting to register it now.
Yeah.
She was pecking me head and I was like, no, it doesn't matter. I've not even spoke to them about it. She's like, okay, left it. Then at the dinner table, so all my family around, she's like pecking me head. And I went, well, she has a dick. Our entire family just went, what? I was like, you know, I've spoke to you about this. And they're like, but we forgot.
Yeah.
Because it'd been so long.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you were waiting, you had a fiance.
So I'm from 16 to now 27. During that time, I've only ever had girlfriends.
Yeah.
You know, I actually got married, not just a fiance.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So it's kind of gone through all that. Like, my family were like, we kind of forgot. Like, you just mentioned it once and we never, ever seen a dude. So
yeah.
It could have been a phase, but even they said we forgot it, though, completely. And then, it was from there. And then I got with my partner and fantastic.
Oh, bless. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's literally your ex-wife's villain story. Her villain origin story. She's like, my boyfriend left me for a man.
To be fair, I mean, it wasn't that. I mean, we were separated for quite a while between, you know, and it was nothing. We didn't split up because of the bisexuality. Nothing to do with that.
And she add to that stigma.
On mine and her first date, she asked me if I was bi.
Oh, really?
She asked me.
Oh, I didn't come out to her. Vibes.
No, she heard it like through the grapevine.
Okay.
Because I said certain people knew, and she went, so are you bisexual? And I was like, yes. She's like, so modern, like, forward thinking.
She's so one modern of them. Until we're about to get married. It's
not that modern. So it went from being really accepting.
I was wondering whose accent that was the first time around. Now I know it's right.
But no, she was a lovely, lovely woman, to be fair. I'm not going to badmouth her.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a bit of a bad thing when it twisted to you can't come out because That was me having to repress who I was.
It's almost like you've made a choice now. You've made a choice to... Yeah.
It's not a choice.
A lot of people... It's like, you know, I'm still bisexual even though I'm with Jake. Like, it doesn't stop... It doesn't stop me from being bisexual.
Yeah.
No.
And it's not an issue or can... Like, really... I mean, I don't really like people anyway. So Jake's quite lucky that I'm with him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's just... It is, I think it is more difficult because then once that comes about, people are like, oh, were you with a guy or a girl this time? Are you with, you know, oh, I thought that you were with a guy. I thought you were with a girl. And it's like, why is it so confusing? It's literally just, this is who I'm bringing home to you. This is who they are. I love them. Then you should support me for loving them, regardless of what they have in their pants. But again, I've mentioned before, no matter what it is, if it's out of the ordinary, it's always going to be a sex thing. You know, people will automatically get their mind to sex. And that's why people are totally okay with girls being bisexual, because it's hot. Yeah. But when it comes to guys, have you ever experienced any form of like hate, specific, like proper in-person hate for being bisexual, or any sort of misjudgment, anything like that?
From both? No, not really. It's more naivety, like I said, from the straight community.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like... Not hate, not vicious, nothing nasty, where it was like I was explaining to my mate about this naivety from the straight community. And this girl, we were all in the smoking area, I was having a fag, and she just looked up at me and she goes, it's such a shame all the good-looking ones are gay. And he just looked at me and said, I see it, it's there, oh my God, like, right behind it. And I was just like, excuse me?
Yeah.
I think you'll find, love, I will smash you harder than anyone in this bar. And she was like, ah. You know I'm bi, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But so it's not nasty, it's naivety.
Yeah.
I've had a best friend who I fell out with, I didn't speak to for months because it wasn't anything to do with bisexuality, it was just him not accepting that I was bi, but it was also, it originated from him using gay as a slur that was offensive, which I don't stand for, where he literally called pasta gay. And I was like, why are you calling pasta gay? And we didn't speak for 3 months from that.
But it is the principle. Yeah. I think what people don't understand is when they say things very lightheartedly, it's like my mum when we were younger, she used to say, even to my gay friend, we'd go, oh, that's so gay.
Yeah.
And then she'd be like, well, it's not really, is it?
Yeah.
And we'd be like, yeah,
so,
okay.
So again, it's naivety, but I educated. But the way he used it was like, oh, that pastor's gay, no offence. To me, I was like, well, one... Saying no offence is being offensive. Two, you've mislabeled me, so fuck off.
Yeah.
And then I explained to him why it was offensive in the first place to homosexuals, then why saying mislabeling me and not understanding. Anyway, but I'm trying to think of anything nasty. Like, I've never had anyone be violent. I've never been vicious. But I have been refused entry to a gay club for being straight. And I was there with my boyfriend.
Right.
What? Where was this?
Manchester, Canal Street.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which you never think would happen.
What bar?
I can't remember, to be honest. But,
it wasn't JAY,
It happened twice. No, it wasn't JAY.
I was going to say, we spoke about JAY last week, refusing. Roping Marley. We got refused from JAY.
Yeah, I got refused.
I think it's London JAY, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they will do this thing. I think the owner of London JAY is just very, very... doesn't like lesbians, doesn't like straight girls, doesn't like... straight guys. So it's like, it's weird because we've had it before where we've had to, but it's the same with anywhere in London really, like you've had to, like we've had to recruit people off the street because it's like three guys to one girl. And it's like, for God's sake, like just let us in. But I understand it though, like, you know, when you're in a queer space, but you can't just look at someone and go, clearly not gay,
just me
you?
And my boyfriend, and they were just like, no.
Yeah,
coming in.
Well, they try to play it off.
Do you want me to suck his dick right now? You know,
let me just get on my knees.
Yeah,
yeah. I think we were quite a big group. It was just a mixed group, but I was basically sober at the time as well, so they couldn't really play the drunk cards. They were letting people in, and they was like,
regulars only. What do you mean? Regulars.
Well, have you got your membership card on you?
I don't carry around my gay card.
I was like, no. And he's like, right, no, sorry. I was like, turns out I don't think they even have a membership.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Okay.
They don't. Yeah. The membership is just twinks with good hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably.
Have you ever been on Grindr?
No, yeah. I've either opened it and then gone now.
What did you use for like hooking up? Like, just like when it came
I'll
to
be
it?
Honest, I've just always been quite lucky.
Really?
In the sense of like
people just come to me.
Yeah. No, I've always been like when I come out of a relationship, I've kind of had just people kind of like swoop. And I'm like, ah, sweet. Because I'm quite a relationship person, you know.
So. How did it happen with your, I don't want to say his name on the podcast, your partner, obviously, who I've met, love him to bits. Like when you guys got together, was he already openly bisexual?
No, we were even together for a long time before he came out.
Right.
Yeah, he was fully on, fully like, not in denial, but he was just like, people don't need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, you're living with me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But again, he's the same as me. He was more into women.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, that was really it. So it took him a bit longer to accept.
Yeah.
Well, to come out. Mm. Like, I was good friends with like his sister and all his friendship group. And it killed me when me and him were hanging out. And they're like, one of them was like making a move on him as well, who's a friend. And I'm just like, yeah, okay.
So you had to keep it a secret.
Yeah, and then they were making moves on me, and he was just letting me. So it was a bit of a, that was a struggle between me and him. I mean, he had a few arguments about it.
Yeah.
But it ended up actually him coming out because his sister like clocked onto it all and just kind of started, went, are you going to fucking come out or what? And he was like, okay. But he knew she knew, and she knew.
Yeah.
And then, but he was like, I'm not going to say nothing because I don't care. But he was just doing the whole, why should it matter?
Yeah.
But then I was like, it does matter because I'm having to lie all the time in front of your friends, your family, everyone we know.
But for him, I don't really want to talk about him when he's not here.
No, like, it was, you know, it's not, it's, he'll get it. Yeah. What he was doing is he goes, I shouldn't have to come out, which is actually a good statement.
Mm. It's a very good statement to say, because honestly, when it, you know, you shouldn't have to, but this is the whole reason why we're doing episodes like this, is the fact that it should be a little bit more normal, but it's to kind of see the experience from every perspective. And it's very clearly going to be quite different for everyone. I think nobody's journey within the LGBTQ community is linear.
Mm.
And it's just kind of picking out a couple of different experiences and just having a chat about it. I mean, I think everyone's experience is going to be different, especially your partner. It shouldn't have to matter, but for some reason it does. And obviously, I guess for you, that was quite a strain for you, because you've been like, well, I've had to come out twice now and you're not even going to come out once. Not even for me.
Yeah, exactly. But like you said, everyone's got a different origin story. Everyone's got a different sexuality story. Everyone's got a different level on this bisexual scale, which makes it that little bit different as well again. Because someone who's like more into the same gender is going to be completely different to someone who's slightly into having a little bit of fun with the same gender.
Mm.
So and then, with that scale, would you say that a lot of straight men are on that scale as well?
Hugely.
Jake? 1 to 10, how gay are you?
I have no idea.
Go on.
Have you seen the blonde in his hair?
Yeah. It's steeper through the grey now. It was bleach blonde.
Oh, okay.
Which I realised was a mistake the other week, because I did walk into a gay bar with bleach blonde hair, and it turned out I was giving the wrong
bags.
Wrong message, yeah.
You're not getting away from this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Between one and ten, how gay are you?
I'm fully straight.
No, you're not. I know that. Between 1 and 10, if you, like, you've seen attractive men.
I would say, I don't know, 9?
You're
no, that's that. Yeah. That's like super gay.
Oh,
is it? Is it?
I'm straight in. I'm a 2.
Okay,
a 2.
Cool.
Let's say 2.
So you're like mostly straight, but there's like a chance.
Not a chance. No, you just say like I can appreciate a good-looking man, I guess.
Yeah, you're not like spit on someone because they're into the same gender. You're like, you can just like, yeah, nice hair.
Don't have an England flag up in your window.
Yeah.
In terms of acceptance, absolutely like a 10. My own personal sexuality.
Yeah, I was talking
about you
personally.
Yeah, my
you're
own
sexuality. You're an ally.
Could you imagine if Jake was homophobic and we did a whole LGBT series?
Yeah, I've just been like crawling up inside. Yeah. I've just got like...
just beating them up as they walk out.
Yeah.
But I do think because of this 1 to 10 scale, if we educate a lot of people about it, a lot of people feel more comfortable because
it is fluid, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Sexuality.
And I found that I'm not set on at a point on the scale. I will go up, I will go down. It tends to always be around a similar area, but it does fluctuate.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd probably put myself as at a 4, slightly more into women, but because I've got a same gendered partner, it's like dabble to hit a five at points, like bang on.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm.
So you spoke about being monogamous when it comes to your relationships. Mm. Has anybody ever thought that because you're bisexual that you are then also polyamorous? Polyamorous is basically where you can have sex with multiple people, but you're in a relationship with either one or two.
All the time.
Mm. Yeah.
But obviously I do porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's different.
But before I did porn, before then, because even when I got into porn, it was like, nah, I'm monogamous. But then it was a whole... It was a stepping stone of, right, I'll only film with women and my partner. And then it's like, nah, actually, work's work. I can switch that off. It's work. But outside of that, people just, oh, I assume you're open. And you know, and I think as well, because the gay culture is very about open relationships. Not all.
Yeah.
But a lot of gay relationships go, no, we're open. It's quite normal.
Yeah.
And they assume as well. And... You know, it's. I'm still learning about that side myself. Mm. I personally don't think I could handle it.
I think really being with a woman for so long, though, that's all you kind of get taught when you grow up. Is like, when you grow up, it's taught to be monogamous, have a partner, a child. So I guess potentially that could have leaked through even into your same-sex relationships as well.
Yeah.
Like, just that's your societal standard of what a relationship should be, and then also then implemented into your own actions, and that's just drilled into everyone's brain, really. But I think when it comes to being gay, for example, fully gay, if you know that you're different from the start, then there's a chance that the potential to rebel is a lot bigger, to be like, oh yeah, we can do everything that we want to do because blah blah.
I think they're a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
But personally, like, yeah, you could be right. It could be just how I've been. It's my brain's been trained.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's like a.
I don't think I could handle it because I know a lot of straight people who are poly. I've got a few straight friends who are poly.
I was going to say, I don't know the science behind it, but I would imagine, you know, what makes you either poly or monogamous is probably completely separate to your sexuality, I assume. Because as I said, you can have poly and monogamous straight people, and I'm assuming it's the same for bisexual and gays and lesbians. Like, it comes down to your personal preference rather than your sexual orientation.
I'd say you're right, but there's a lot more open relationships in same-sex relationships.
Right.
There's swingers and stuff in there. Have you ever been to a swinger party?
Oh, yeah.
Was it fun?
Yeah, I used to be quite a regular back in the day, but more on the fetish scene.
Mm.
So that was fun.
Have you ever been to...
As a single, though. Like I said, I was never
never
with a partner.
What's that place in London? The fetish place. Have you ever been?
Oh, Torture Garden.
Torture Garden. Is it fun? Have you
been? I've not been to that, actually.
Oh, we should go.
I booked on to one, and then COVID hit. And then since coming out of COVID, I'm so active with work and going to, like, doing fetish shoots and all this.
Content is so good.
I'm just like, I don't need to go to Torture Garden.
Yeah.
What goes on at Torture Garden? What sort of stuff are we talking? I mean, torture, well, I assume.
Well, one of my friends went the other week, and when she went there, she had a row of guys line up, and she spanked them all with a whip. Oh. So you don't actually have to have sex at Torture Garden.
Yeah.
Like, think of it more as like a club that's fetish themed.
It's
an event where everyone shows up, like, dressed the best they can. Let's show off, you know.
Is that what you're into?
YMCA.
I'd say give it a go, you know. There's quite a few people that I think, you know, actually go.
I imagine so.
Yeah.
How does consent work in a place like that? Because as you said, you don't have to sleep with people then. Like, if you go in there, but you don't want to do that, but you're
then
just
you
like
just
there.
Say no.
Yeah. Plus, Torch Garden's not really about sex.
No.
Not much at all. Really shouldn't be, because...
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you want to go for the sex side of things, most fetish parties, like even at like proper sex clubs, the fetish, when it's fetish, it's not about the sex.
Mm.
It's about the kink. It's about you know, it's about the bondage, about like all that side of things, you know.
Yeah, because I
wonder if they have a quicksand room. It's not what I'm into. I just
quicksand
found,
room.
Yeah,
because there's a fetish for quicksand. Imagine walking in and just getting stuck.
Yeah. that'd be ace.
Yeah,
I'd love that. And then I'd give it a go.
Yeah, there's a sun fetish. I bet they, yeah. I might set up my own. I just need like a little tan beds in there.
Yeah. I've had sex in a sunbed. That's quite cool.
In a what? In a sunbed?
Yeah.
Stand up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Leg up in the air. Really good.
How did
on camera. You can watch it. That's a dodgy wink.
Yeah.
You know where to find
it. Wait, where did you get the sunbed?
It was rented. Yeah. Oh. Someone I was working with was like, oh, I've got a sunbed. When you come around, you can use it if you want. I was like, do you want to fuck in it?
Oh my God.
There must have been a bit of indeed.
Yeah, because you've done some pretty mental content, haven't you? Is there anything else interesting that you've done?
I've done loads.
Because I've seen a couple of bits and bobs. I've never personally subscribed.
No. But you've seen some trailers.
But I seem like I kind of want to now.
Oh.
But which trailers, which clips have you seen?
I've seen the one from underneath. That's the bisexual one. That's the one that you posted the other day.
Yeah.
And that looked pretty cool.
Mm.
I'm trying to think. Like, because the thing is, when I scroll down Twitter, I'm just not a Twitter person. I don't know who's posted it.
It's just,
what's your favorite?
Penis and bumholes and vaginas everywhere on Twitter, isn't there?
Honestly, I can't even open it.
So to list off some just weird things that I've done. So obviously my niche is bi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but bi MMFs, that's my thing. I have videos that are straight, videos that are gay. But then when it comes to Let's Get Crazy, so I've done a few different horror Halloween things. Where I've done Ghostface, where it was actually with Becky, Rebecca Goodwin.
Oh, yeah, I love
that,
yeah.
No one knows who Scream is, but that's me, and it's my idea.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I come, she's watching a film, and I run in, like, I want to see what your insides look like, and then I fuck her as Ghostface.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've done the Viking threesome.
Oh, yeah, that was with Becky as well. Yeah, well, that was a good one.
I've done another one where I recorded the full thing where she goes into the kitchen, not Becky, another girl. And then she sees Ghostface in the corner and she looks and there's like knives and dildos and stuff and they pull off the big suction cup, run up the stairs, a boob falls out, walks in, then all of a sudden I'm there as Jason with the mask down, just standing there having a wank in it.
I remember that.
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh my God. Yes, I remember seeing the trailer for that.
It starts off very straight, but then all of a sudden mid-threesome the lights go out and she's like, oh my God, the lights gone out. When it comes back on, then me and Ghostface are fucking.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, I remember that. That's so funny.
I'd done one with Power Ranger helmets. That was quite funny.
Nice.
I just had an urge to get a Power Ranger helmet. And I was like, what can I do with this? Yeah, I've done loads of fetishy stuff. I've done like masquerade balls. I've thrown like a big like swinger masquerade ball thing. Not swinger, sorry. It looked like a swinger party, but it was a OnlyFans party for content. So it wasn't swinging, but we'd done it in a masquerade theme.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you organise a lot of OnlyFans events, don't
you?
Yeah. Did you want to talk about them?
If you want.
Yeah, go for it.
So,
because I think a lot of people who do OnlyFans do actually watch this.
Yeah. Well, there was one last week we missed, didn't we? Because of the dog.
Yeah, we were. Yeah. Well, no.
Oh, no, that wasn't mine. That was just. So yours. The person I do it with, she just.
Yours is in June, isn't it?
Yeah, June. So the Desire events, I started it out of pure frustration and I was just pissed off. I was fuming. It's about like arranging collabs and people flaking and just leaving you hanging dry like the night before, and it ends up just wasting a lot of money. So I was like, fuck's sake, who can you trust in this industry? And I was like, I want to meet creators who are willing to put the effort in to go out their way, who you can trust. So I was like, right, I want to go to an event where sex workers get together and actually meet, hang out, and you can kind of get a bit of a vibe. And if you want, you can make content there.
Yeah,
didn't exist. Now a few of them do because everyone's copied me. But so I found a swingers club, rented out, and then it's just content creators get together. You can make content if you want.
Yeah.
But it's more so about the networking. And yeah.
Yeah, but, because what a lot of people don't realise about the sex work industry or OnlyFans in general, OnlyFans is a massive spectrum. Some people don't post any porn on there. Some people post mental porn. We're on the latter of that, me and Ethan. But so it's hard to gauge what people want, and it's a very lonely industry to be in. Because you don't have a 9-to-5, you don't get up and go to work and see all your colleagues and stuff. You need to make friends, and sometimes it is difficult because a lot of people are just in the industry just to have sex with people, and if they don't find you attractive enough, they don't want to collab, and that's not what it's all about. So I think having these events here are a great way for you to get a feel for, pardon the pun, for who you'd want to work with. Because the thing is, it's all about chemistry at the end of the day, isn't it?
There is another reason behind it than that. Like, you get a feel for who you want to work with in developing chemistry, because I won't work with someone based on your heart, let's work.
Yeah.
Because they could be hot, but they could be an arsehole. I want to get to know the vibe of a person. But what's also good is people are really scared to meet people on their own. So to a lot of women in the industry, going to meet a 6'3" muscly tank to have sex, it's terrifying.
Yeah. It
so
is.
Going to this event first and meeting them Like, actually, I trust this guy, he's quite nice. Or I can film there, where I've got another 80 creators around.
Yeah.
If anything happens, I'm safe.
Exactly one of my main things when I first started. Yeah. I met up with a guy who was, and it was, I usually would work with couples or, and I think it would still be the case of, but I usually work with couples. And so then obviously if anything happens, you know, I'm doing threesome content or whatever, but I met up with this guy and he was like 6 foot, huge, muscly guy, with like just a massive dick. And I was like, oh my God, like this is just... And I was so nervous. I think even in the videos, I was shaking. And afterwards, I was just like, I just want to cry. Like, it was because he didn't do anything wrong, but he didn't. But it was just kind of like, I didn't feel very safe. Yeah. And I was just like, especially for OnlyFans creators, like the people, they could be anyone.
Yeah.
And that's where a problem lies. You know, people think our biggest worry is having an STD, which, you know, we're probably the cleanest people out there. But actually, it is meeting people who are odd, you know.
And this is from someone who, you're quite a confident person, but there's people who won't say boo to a goose. And for a lot of people, they don't realise there's a lot of autistic people or people on the spectrum in general in this industry, because they can't work a 9-to-5. So this is their kind of haven of work. And they really find it difficult to meet people.
So. Yeah.
Exactly, it's like an anxiety thing. So having those sorts of events there, I think I wish that when I first started, there was something like that there.
Yeah.
Now I have so much content that I probably don't need to do anything with other people for a long time. But
do you know what? These events, linking back to bisexuality, is definitely helping improve people feel more comfortable men-wise about their sexuality, because they actually come in and getting to meet other bisexual men and go in, oh, actually, yeah, I feel more confident to actually admit that, like, I want to give something a try.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that most people, when they feel a certain way, they kind of need affirmation from someone else that, you know, it's actually all right. This is how I live. Like, I think I had a situation where one of my friends, she lived in a small town and she's bisexual. And she saw me and another friend of mine and she thought she fancied me. And I was like, personally, I don't think you fancy me. I think you like the idea of the fact that I'm so open and you can't be, because obviously she lives in a small town. People hate bisexual people and gay people down there. And she kind of sat back and was like, no, you're right. Like, it's not that I love you. I think it's the fact that I want to be you because I just want to let everyone know that I'm bisexual, but I can't be openly bisexual. So I think she's now in a gay relationship. So
amazing.
Bisexual relationship. So yeah, but it's happened more than once. And I think people need that little bit of they need people around them to show them that it's not actually scary to be to be yourself. So.
And I do think, like, people like yourself, like me, other people who are bisexual and not just the adult industry, just open about it, is making a lot more people comfortable. Because, I mean, I've been speaking to my nephew lately. He's not on about his sexuality, just on about his understanding of sexuality compared to when I was his age.
Yeah.
He's like, wow, you know, fair play. Like, I wouldn't have talked about people who are all these labels and stuff without being like, what's that bollocks? And he's just like, oh no, we got loads of people like that in school.
And I'm
like, that's great.
This is a great sign, because we asked Harley how she thought the UK was in terms of, like, acceptance of the LGBTQ community. So the fact that that's coming through sort of like the younger generations now, what are your views on it overall? Do you think there's still a lot of work to do?
I think there's still a lot of work.
Yeah.
But it's speeding up the progression of it.
Mm. Yeah.
Massively.
Definitely. I think we spoke about being in your own bubble. Obviously, we're not trying to force anyone to change what they're doing to try and advocate for anything that anyone else is doing. It's not your responsibility to change the whole world, but even just talking about it, it's just being a massive help to people who are either confused or they're out and they don't know how to handle it. You know, there's a lot of different ways that being part of the community is hard and part of it is very easy, because, you know, there's a lot of people around you who have come out and they are comfortable with it. But I mean, for you yourself, would you say do you have any advice for any people who are bisexual within that community on what you think you'd want to let them know if, say, for example, you were talking to yourself before you came out?
It's kind of like a goosebump question that, like, it literally is. As you asked it, I was like, I'm genuinely getting goosebumps because something that changed my life is I just stopped giving a what others think.
Yeah.
The moment I did that, genuinely, my life has got better and better and better. And this just isn't in terms of just sexuality. It's just happiness across the board and achieving things that I never thought I'd ever achieve. And that can be in business, can just be with friends, can be with relationships, because I generally don't care. And when you kind of don't care, you kind of end up becoming this charismatic person. And I don't know, just everything just kind of falls into place, you know?
Exactly.
So everyone who's listening who might be struggling, just stop giving a because
nobody thinks. I think I heard something the other week that was like, people spend 80% of their day thinking about themselves and the other 20%, why would they think about you?
Yeah.
It was like, a very good point. That's a very good point. Why would they spend their 20% of their day thinking about other people?
Yeah, 100%.
So, and if you do, then you're sad. Sorry. But yeah, I mean, basically that's the episode kind of coming to an end.
Yep.
And I'm so glad that I had you on. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Put all of Ethan's socials down the bottom. You can go watch all of his amazing stuff. And we'll put, so you've got Instagram, you've got Twitter,
I've got everything.
You got everything.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. And yeah, I'll just drop the links for you.
Nice.
And two Instagrams, actually. How do you follow me from another Instagram? Is that a real one?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. So the latest one.
Yeah. So this is why I mean I've got them everywhere because things get deleted because social media hates sex workers
and they try
to cancel us. So
you
might see me pop under anything, but Ethan Bradbury, Mr. Britain X, they're the both names that I'll be going by.
And if you are a sex worker and you want to get involved in the events, they do have limited spaces most of the time. So just drop Ethan a message. But thank you so much for being here and we'll be back next week. So basically, usually we end off every episode with have fun, stay safe and always get consent. What part of that would you like?
Stay safe.
Yes. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'll start then.
Go on then.
Have fun.
Stay safe.
And always get consent.
Nice.
That's cool. I like that.
Oh yeah.
Do you like it?
Have fun, stay safe, and always get consent.
Two Night Stand, baby.